They just keep doing it to us, don't they? We record Romaniacs on a Wednesday afternoon, and every week, without fail, the government does something strange and unpredictable on a Thursday, which completely upsets the apple cart. This week, it was Theresa May going back on her pledge to Dominic Grieve that the Tory rebels' requirements for a meaningful vote on the withdrawal bill will be taken on board. It turns out that her word doesn't really mean very much at all. I'm Andrew Harrison. It's my job to make sure that the show is as up to date as we can make it. So I went into central London today to meet Naomi Smith from the panel at the lovely offices of Best for Britain to talk about these things. Please excuse our lo-fi sound. It's a bit echoey. It's a bit clangy. But we had to do it on the hoof without access to our lovely usual producers. So be aware and prepare yourself for leaps in volume up and down. And we'll see you next Wednesday for a properly produced podcast with proper knob twiddling. Dominic Grieve, Theresa May and the art of the non-deal deal. On Tuesday, the Prime Minister assured the former Attorney General that MPs would get a greater say on the Brexit deal. The conditions were not made public. It was a promise to consult, and come Thursday, it appears that in the style of Darth Vader and Lando Calrissian, I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further. Naomi, tell me firstly, what exactly happened here?
So, we have a weak Prime Minister who is trying to keep everybody happy, keep the wheels on the bus of this, you know, increasingly rickety bus. She's promised different things to different people. She's promised Dominic Grieve that, yes, Part C of his amendment would be kept in and honoured, and that gives MPs the right to say what will happen. It gives power to Parliament to say what will happen in the event that the government doesn't get a deal. Mm-hmm. He believed her promise. Off he went. He then leaves Parliament to get on a train to Bangor to go and record Question Time, and halfway down the track takes a call to find out that no, this deal has been reneged on, and that a red line for government remains that it is they and not Parliament that get to decide what happens in the event of a no deal.
Has May just caved to the Brexit jihadis again? Because she seems to cave to whomever the last person she spoke to.
So the rumours are that David Davis has intervened personally, probably threatened yet another resignation, a sixth resignation. Threat, and you know, this is what everyone is sort of rumouring has happened, and so effectively yes, has capitulated to them. But it's an incredibly dangerous game to play because you know, as Dominic himself has already come out and said, the Lords will amend it back in, and when the vote comes back to the Commons, and that will probably be next week. I think it's likely to be next Wednesday, but it may end up being a little bit later than that. That, you know, that there are the votes in the Commons, and we're going to be talking about the Lewisham East by-election later, but of course there is now one more Remainer vote in Parliament than there was last week when they were all voting on this stuff.
I mean, it certainly seems like the last tattered remnants of Brand May are being torn to pieces, because the one last thing you thought you could depend on her...
Was honour.
It was to be the trustworthy kind of deputy head girl type. You know, whatever the job needs to be done, well, I'll do it, and you can trust me. And This seems to be the kind of dead-end behaviour you see in the final reel of a war film.
Yeah.
When people are just doing what's necessary to survive from minute to minute. There's no strategy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would anyone on the Remain side trust Theresa May over anything now?
Look, they won't. And you know, this is the culmination of a strategy that has been pursued for the last year, which is get through the next 24 hours. Say what you need to say to buy a bit of time just to survive, because she has got this incredibly weak situation. She's propped up by the DUP. She's got factions within her own party and, you know, dealing with no appetite in terms of a parliamentary majority for any kind of hard Brexit. And it's finally chickens coming home to roost, I'm afraid, for her.
We've heard what we've seen in public, what Dominic Grieve thinks about it. He's described it as a slap in the face, which is pretty strong language for a parliamentarian.
Especially for somebody like Dominic.
Yeah, who's not known for...
hyperbolic.
Yeah. Do we know what the rebel Remain Tories are saying in private? What impression are we getting from them?
Well, I think they are feeling emboldened. Mm. Where you know, it's kind of easy to rebel when you know the stakes aren't very high. We now know that next week, you know, there's all to play for them. There are the numbers there now, so I think they'll be feeling, you know, even more determined, and we hopefully will see a few more joining their ranks.
So explain exactly what is going to happen next week.
So the Lords will amend the bill to probably put back in what is notionally called the Greaves Amendment. So to put back in the right for Parliament to have a say in the event of no deal. So what that means is that... So that's been put down by Lord Hailsham. Mm-hmm. That then comes back to the Commons. I think it's going to come back on Wednesday, but some people are saying that it'll be either later in the week or even very early the following week. And it's looking very much like there will be the numbers in the Commons to pass that amendment.
Whereupon Theresa May will not be able to say... She won't be able to pull the same trick and say, well, don't worry, I will consult with you.
No, once bitten, twice shy, no.
Yeah, it's astonishing. Now, my very rusty... out-of-date understanding of procedure is that there's a limited number of times that the Lords can
ping
back something back.
Yeah.
How many ping-pongs do they get? How many goes?
I don't know. But, I mean, there's the sort of strict rules and then there's the convention. Hmm. I'd be amazed if the Lords fought it again. You know, they tend to only amend once these days and submit to the will of the Commons. But the Commons
don't
didn't...
say submit to the will. You don't want to hear submit to the will.
So I think this is probably the last time we'll have the Lords sort of put their stamp on it.
Right.
And not least because we're now then into the real meat of things, which is going back to Europe with it, because we've got the EU Council happening towards the end of June. And, of course, you know, they have now demoted Brexit down to, I think, the fourth or fifth agenda item. It's only us Brits who are so obsessed with taking up huge amounts of debate time.
God,
on
what's
it.
Higher up the list? Exciting things like yeah, fish and stuff.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah. You know, keeping the EU going and, yeah, all the important stuff.
Mm. Well, moving on to more withdrawal bill fun. It is a measure of the crazy times that a large rebellion within the Labour Party over EEA membership was hardly noticed by anybody. It just kind of came and went. 75 MPs defied a whip instructing them to abstain. 6 front benchers quit.
Mm.
In normal times, this would be leadership crisis material, but hey, here we are. You know,
yeah.
It's like everything's on fire, so yep. Nobody noticed. The amendment enabling EEA membership was defeated by 327 to 126, with 6 sort of usual suspect Labour MPs voting with the government. What does this say about the state of the Labour Party vis-à-vis Brexit?
So it's slightly difficult to talk about this without reference to Lewisham, so apologies if I sort of merged the two topics a little bit. So we saw in the local elections in London, Remain seats voting in larger numbers for the Lib Dems and the Greens and the Labour vote being hurt there. And of course in Lewisham we've seen this swing away from Labour. And the Labour Party itself is just totally torn. I mean, I know that most of the MPs realise that, you know, a hard Brexit is a disaster and that even shades of soft Brexit are still not going to be good for them personally in their yeah. seats. So, yes, we had 15 defy the whip in order to vote against the EEA and 75... and I think, you know, what's difficult about, you know, the Labour Party position is that you had the radicals have sort of finally taken control of the party, only to reinvent centrism by saying we've got to keep Leavers and Remainers happy, and I think Owen Jones described it as walking this tightrope of keeping Leavers and Remainers happy. So. You know, it's a complete mess at the moment for the Labour Party. And EEA, you know, it is a version of Leave. I think that there are a lot of Labour MPs that know that that is, you know, not going to be good for the country, certainly not going to be good for them in their seats, but it's still better than a hard Brexit. And the problem with abstentions is that it masks what people are really thinking. So when you whip to abstain and you have all these abstentions... It's masking what their real views are. So it's going to be interesting to see how they vote when the whip is different from that and whether they're going to you know, carry on backing a version of Leave.
Well, it's kind of... The question's kind of moot anyway, isn't it? Because EEA isn't exactly on offer as such. It's kind of a current kind of fantasy here that we can sort of once we've voted for it, we can have it. But the complex and protracted process of actually enabling that will put it years into the future.
Absolutely. And, you know, even the Norwegian Prime Minister has told us that it's probably not the sort of thing we'd really want. You know, and
the
they're
Norway
in it.
Guy says,
the Norway guy says, don't go for the Norway model.
Norway, I remember that from Wales. don't kill the Wales.
It's all the pay and none of the same.
Yeah. I mean, on the scale of just looking at the kind of the basic gladiatorial parliamentary conflict aspect of it, how big a deal is a rebellion of this kind?
A Labour rebellion or a Conservative? It is huge, and probably growing, and I think the danger is that, you know, you've got to pick a side and win it, and at the moment the danger of not picking a side means I think you're just going to end up failing miserably, and not being able to hold your party together for too much longer. It's a real risk for Corbyn, and you know, we're feeling it all around the country where people do go to the polls. They are, you know, in Remain seats, they are, you know, kicking back against this position. He can't hold that line for much longer. It's going to come to a point where he has to pick a side.
When we've got both of the major parties dealing with significant rebellions, do we even have coherent major political parties anymore?
No, and I've said this many times on the podcast, that the after the referendum, it was clear that the country had moved to a different axis, that, you know, rather than a left-right axis, it had moved to this open society versus closed society, which version of the world do you want to live in? But yet the political parties haven't recalibrated around that and are sort of sticking to this left-right line. And they haven't moved on, and the electorate has, and they're not keeping pace with where voters are.
Just finally, a little bit more on Lucia Meeks. Labour held onto the seat with 50.2%, and it was good for Remainers because new MP Janet Davey campaigned openly and enthusiastically against hard Brexit. She is a Corbyn backer, but this is a clear variance of Labour policy. What does it mean?
Well, what it means is that Labour are almost certainly going to say, aha, see, this was a very Remainy seat, and of course the Remain vote, you know, came out for other people, predominantly the Lib Dems in this election, although the Greens did also have a slight uptick in their share of the vote. For Labour, when you are in opposition at this kind of period in a parliamentary cycle, you should not be losing votes. Absolutely not be losing votes, particularly in this kind of a situation with a government as screwed up as the one that we've got, that's as weak as it is. So I think this is a really big warning shot. However, what we will almost certainly hear from the Labour Party is, aha, but it would have been the same in a Leave seat. We would have lost seats to Conservatives. And this isn't true, because the data, and data that Best for Britain and others have put out, shows that even Leave seats with a Labour MP have nothing to fear from coming out for Remain, because predominantly Labour voters vote Remain. And those Labour voters that are Labour Leave voters are highly unlikely to ever not vote Labour. So the overall message to Labour is Leave supporters are a very unreliable base on which to build parliamentary support, because they don't turn out in elections in the way Remainers do.
But also, the evidence of the past couple of elections has been they're very promiscuous.
They are. They either don't vote or they move around a lot. And you ignore your Remain voters at your peril, Labour. Absolutely. So we've got data in all of these seats sort of showing this to be the case. So I think this is very, very worrying. I would be very worried for Labour at the moment, given that they really ought to not be losing any votes at all, and they have had a big dent in their majority, and that swing has gone almost entirely to the Liberal Democrats, who are one of the only parties that are affirmedly in favour of an exit from Brexit.
So it's been another crazy roller coaster.
Don't ask me to make a prediction.
No, I'm just hoping that nothing's going to happen between me pressing stop on this recorder now and the hour it will take me to get it up. God alone knows what could happen. It's Friday, surely they're not going to. Mind you, a couple of weeks ago, with resignations and sackings were announced on Friday night.
Exactly. David Davis could be gone by the time you get home.
Fingers crossed, everybody. So, where do you think, on balance, this week's odd events? Which way is the needle going? Is it going in our direction?
So if we get it through the Lords next week and then through the Commons, we've effectively killed off hard Brexit. So what that Part C of that amendment does is it basically means hard Brexit is dead if we get it through, because there is certainly no parliamentary majority for a cliff-edge WTO rules Brexit. That's a big if.
So this time next week, we could actually be celebrating the death of hard Brexit.
We could.
We could well be doing that. Touch wood. Naomi, thank you very much. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you.
I'll see you next week.
Bye.